It was developed, I will say, for years. I would stop at the intercessory prayers. Like, it'd be the intercessory prayers. It was all rote, right? It all had to be controlled. It all had to be guided. And I was really limiting myself. I mean, for years, like a decade at least, I was just limiting myself to even the possibility of hearing God. But you know what? I learned the habit. And here's the thing that I'm going to say here is that habit and constancy is going to beat motivation every single day. And so learning that habit and bringing that habit into my life transformed who I am and what I want for my life and what I'm capable of becoming because I actually gave it the time that it needed. And now it's so much more efficacious. Welcome, men, to another episode of The Catholic Gentleman. We are blessed that you have decided to join us. We are your hosts, Devin Shod, Sam Guzman, and myself, John Heinen. And we are grateful to come at you today and talk about prayer and talk about why it's so difficult and how to stick with it. And spoiler alert, men, this is something that men have struggled with for millennia, and we're going to discuss that as well. We also get to answer a question from one of our listeners who asks us, what does sacrificial love actually look like? We love receiving your questions and answering them. So if you send us a voice audio to podcast@catholicgentleman.com, we'll be sure to answer it on air. In addition, this extended episode that comes out this week here on Catholic Gentleman Plus, we're going to be talking about the invocation of the Holy Spirit, its effects in our prayer life, as well as what to do when you've fallen off and how to get back on into your prayer regime, which happens to us all. You can head over to CatholicGentlemanPlus.com where you can see that, plus every single monthly session that we come out with. This month, we're coming out with sexual integrity and lust. Then we've got charity and we've got devotional life, and we've got a lot of great content for men inside of that platform, CatholicGentlemanPlus.com. It's a great way to support us. If you like this show, if you like what we're doing on these public editions, please hit that subscribe button, share it out to your family and friends. It's how we really do get our reach. Give us those 5-star reviews on Apple or on Spotify. It does help the algorithm to reach more men, and we would be grateful for that. So diving right in here, we have to admit that prayer can be very hard. This is the beginning. And while reflecting on this in preparation for the show, I was like, yeah, why is it so hard for men to pray and stick with it? And I believe, and Devin and Sam, you guys might disagree with me or you might have a different take on it, but I believe it's because men do not believe that it's actually going to satisfy their deepest longings and desires. And maybe they don't even know what those deepest longings and desires, maybe they've never heard that they have a desire for the infinite. They have a desire for, you know, everlasting peace, right? But I mean, you think about that. I'd love to be at peace day in and day out. I would love to experience love that that transcends the moments of the day and that helps me get through the moments of my day. I would love to experience happiness and a supernatural joy, as we know is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But maybe you've never thought about that. And frankly, the idea that it will satisfy and it will lead all of those longings and all of those desires and will fix all of that complexity of your life is something that I don't think men really believe. Because if we did believe, we would at least have a further motivation outside of just the obligation to pray at all times, or, you know, to pray without ceasing, and Christ, you know, asking us and directing us to prayer. So I guess I'll turn real quick just in that conversation to you, Sam, and ask you, you know, why do you think it is that men struggle to stick with prayer, or men struggle to understand prayer and then go deeper into it?
Yeah, it is a struggle, and I think part of it is the way our brains are wired as men, in the sense that we are very externally focused. It's hard for us to turn inward because we're so often focused on controlling the world, building things in the world, accomplishing tasks, achieving missions, things like that. And God designed us that way, right? Like, these are all healthy things about being a man. But it also makes it challenging to turn inward and to attend to what's there. And I think, you know, like, again, like this externally focused, future forward tendency that men often have does make us skeptical to what you're saying, like turning towards your interior life, turning towards the divine and things that are really kind of invisible and hard for us to see and concretely grasp.
That's right.
It makes it a challenge. And that's not to say we shouldn't try and that we shouldn't do it. It's absolutely essential, as all the saints tell us, male and female saints, right? They all tell us the same thing, that prayer is the breath of the spiritual life. It's the oxygen of the soul. And if you're not praying, you're slowly suffocating spiritually. So just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worthy of our attention. It absolutely is. But it's just something that we're going to have to realize doesn't always come naturally to us. Now, there are different temperaments, different dispositions, right? Like some comes more naturally to some guys than others. But I would say that for men in general, I think interiority of any kind is a challenge, which is why you hear guys like aren't in touch with their emotions, or like your wife asks, a wife asks a guy like, "What are you thinking about, honey?" "Nothing," and he's being completely honest, but the wife like just can't fathom that, right? Yeah. Like he has no interior life. Right. What is going on here? You know, but for a guy that's more normal. It's more normal to just let your mind go blank, or to be dreaming of some abstract idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
so it is harder, but it's absolutely worthy. And I think you're right, John. Like when we actually get in touch with those interior depths and find the Lord in prayer, we find, yes, those deepest longings are fulfilled. And so it's absolutely worth it, but it is nonetheless a challenge.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's spot on. And I'm glad that you took us in that direction too, because I was reflecting on basically the thriving religious orders, 1500 years ago, right? And they were those orders that just provided that regiment, right? That rule. They were a little bit more militaristic. Like we would see that, like men would thrive in that and men would go towards that, right? Because it provided that external control that they need. And I was actually thinking with something that you were saying is that, if you're unaware, right? And this goes into what's the problem with sticking with it is that our default mode network, if you don't know what that is, right, that's that phrase of like when you're at active rest, what your brain does. And your brain starts thinking about its worries about the past, its worries about the future, how it perceives itself in its modern setting, how it perceives other people. That's a part of your default mode network. And that's always been the case when you're at active rest, such as prayer. However, today, because our distractions, our requirements, our immediacies are so on overload, I feel like it adds a uniqueness to the modern minds that makes this very difficult, and that we indeed have to train ourselves to pray. And in training ourselves to pray, that can be really difficult, like because we're not getting that immediate rewards that we're looking for. So, Devin, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You were adding some things to what Sam was saying, and how would you answer that, why it's so hard for men to pray?
Well, I'll just ask you guys, do you guys find it very easy to talk to your wife? I mean, I tell you what, talking to my wife sometimes is an incredible challenge, and she is a tangible human being who is right before me. And what I think that the challenge for men is it's related to the external internal dynamic that Sam was referring to, but it's tangible intangible. It's the idea that I have so much difficulty actually relating and conversing and paying attention to a person who is right in front of me, who I can see, feel, and touch, let alone the God that I can't see, I can't feel, and I can't touch. And I'm supposed to be paying attention and listening and somehow gleaning something from something he's saying that I can't hear. I think right there as a man who's visual and very practical, I'm like, okay, I'm already at a massive disadvantage. And if I have any kind of doubt whether this God thing is real, or if I'm shaky in that area, then prayer is just like, that's ridiculous, So I think that's probably fundamental. But Matthew Christoph, our friend from the New Evangelization, he said, He did all sorts of research on this, and he found that 37% of Catholic men strongly agree that daily prayer is important. So if you look at that stat, 2/3 of men don't believe that prayer, daily prayer is important. And then he also found that only 1/3 of Catholic men pray daily. So 2/3 of Catholic men don't pray daily. And personally, just getting feedback from men from around the nation, retreats I've done, one of the biggest laments of men who are devoted, who are actually trying, is that they don't know how to pray. And they're like, yes. How do I pray? How do you do this? And so I think the challenge is that, you know, we don't know how to pray because we're talking to this intangible being that we can't hear anything. We don't see him. It doesn't feel real. So how do we do this?
Yeah, it's so simple, but I appreciate the honesty in it because it's the truth. When you are diving in, when you're learning that you need to be praying, and hopefully our listeners are understanding, right? This is not that complex of why it's difficult. Right. And it's just great to talk about it with both of you men because you start feeling like it's you, right? You read the saints and you read the church doctors and you read the mystics and you're just, wow, these people had something, right? It was like they were talking to somebody standing in the room right there. And they were, but they understood it at a different level. But when you get started in this game, it is absolutely so contrary to how you've been living your life that we fall into some of the norms that I hope we go into. And we fall into some of those things that actually keep us in. And I'm going to say shackles from elevating ourselves in prayer. And I know, Sam, that you used a couple weeks ago, you talked about this image of like an upward spiral in our ascent to God. And I think some people just feel like they're going in that circle. And so they give up. They don't feel like they're actually spiraling up, you know, and here we are. Yeah, Devin.
Well, an analogy would be, think about how hard a car engine works to get from 0 to 55 and say 60 or, you know, whatever, 20 seconds or whatever it is. Yeah. But then after the car gets to 55, it kind of idles. The engine relaxes in a way and it just runs. That's going to be our journey with prayer. From 0 to 55, the first 10 years of your life, I'm exaggerating, but it just seems like, man, this is hard work. Am I ever any getting where? And finally you hit that 55 mile per hour zone where you're like, whoa, it's working. I'm beginning to hear him. I'm receiving inspirations. I'm feeling that infusion of grace that's changing me. So I want to give everybody hope that yes, it's worth it. You will hear his voice in a way. You will receive his inspirations. You will receive that infusion of grace that you realize your life is changing, but you got to get from 0 to 55. You got to make that engine work, so to speak, by praying daily.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sam, before we talk about why is prayer so important, any extra things that you'd like to add to the difficulty of men in prayer?
Yeah, I think a key part of this is kind of our dopamine addled brains in the modern world where we could have a whole episode just on, yes, on dopamine and motivation.
I think so,
and all of
without
that.
A
Maybe
doubt.
We should do that at some point. Yeah. But the point being, like, Our brains are being hijacked by devices, and not just devices, stimulation of all kinds. You get in the car, you turn on music, you get home, you turn on the TV. Like there's you know, all kinds of things that are demanding our attention all the time. And like, and I think a big part of this, and we can get into this a little bit more later in the episode, is that we have to be conscious of this, as opposed to unconscious of its effect on our lives. But second, learn to manage it. Learn to maybe fast from dopamine stimulation in order to create the space necessary for authentic prayer to occur. You know, you read about, people in the past and they're lamenting how hard it is to concentrate and how hard it is to maintain their attention. And they had a fraction of the stimulation that we do now. Blaise Pascal said, you know, like all the evils in the world come from man not being able to sit quietly in his room. And maybe, yes, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think there's truth in it. And that it, yeah, and that was in the late 1700s. Like, if he only knew what was coming, right? So we have to be conscious of that and we have to learn to manage that. And maybe we can get into those practical details later in the episode, but I think it's just something worth noting that, yeah, not only we already have a struggle as men with interiority in general, but likewise we're battling these demons of like technology and things that are like always trying to seep into us and take our attention away from what's essential. And that's just something we're gonna have to struggle with and wrestle with.
Agreed, Sam. And if I could just add to that, you mentioned earlier that men are active. We like to be active, but we have to be honest about our lives today. Previously, men were more active, right? They were either active because they were having to go hunt, they were having to protect themselves, they were more active because they were enlisted in military on a common level throughout a certain period of time, they were more active because of labor outdoors. But today, in our sedentary, you know, staring at electronics, working at the computer, looking at our phone, watching TV, we don't even have that outlet to be active on a regular basis unless we put it upon ourselves. So if we think about the struggles that they had, you know, with their active selves when they were actually having an active life, and we compare it to ourselves today that our desire to be active just like as man does, but don't have active lives, you know, you're just compounding the effects of that distractions and of those difficulties and of that lack, right? That void in your life. And so prayer is not coming along and filling that void of activity that men need and men yearn for. And like you were just saying, it's the life we live in, right? And so this is very complex and there's a lot that we have to get towards, but I will just state that I know obligation to pray is not enough to stick with it. Even if you convince men, right? It becomes a stoic form of white knuckling, you know, and there are few among us that are actually able to stick with it, but for the wrong reasons when obligation. Now we are obliged to do it and we do have to go through that, obey. But the finally, before we move on to, you know, why do we pray and its benefits, before we get on to how do you actually pray and what is a roadmap that it's going to look like, I want to say that faithfulness and perseverance and constancy in prayer, these take just overwhelming true motivation and virtue to stick with, right? And so how do we gain that? And I want to go into that. And I think that we should. And as one of you guys stated earlier, just because it's difficult doesn't mean that we don't stick with it, because we know it's true. So I'd like to pivot over to you, Devin, and kind of get some of your first thoughts on, and this is a big question that could spend a whole other episode, which we will not do today, but why is prayer so important?
Why is prayer so important? Well, I mean,
if you wanted to take it to a different direction, that's fine too.
No. It just seems super obvious, but I think imagine if Seth Godin would meet with you daily or weekly for an hour and give you all of his marketing and leadership advice for free. Would you do it? Imagine if you had, you know, who is it? Tony Robbins or Robin Sharma, who are willing to meet with you once a week for 2 hours to change your life. Would you do it? Yes, of course. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you look at like fighter jet, if you had a fighter jet, an F-16, and yet you didn't put that, whatever that high petroleum fuel, that I can't think of what kind of fuel it is in that. That jet cannot fly. And that's like us. God has created us to fly, to soar, to have power, to really do great things. And yet the fuel, which is prayer, we don't access. We don't access the Seth Godin, in a sense, of God, his genius. We don't access the life coach of God and what he wants for us. And for me, why do I pray? I don't know if we should get into this quite yet, but I'll tell you this. Sir. If I want direction in my life, if I want counsel, if I want greatness, if I want glory, if I want the power to endure suffering and hardship, and I want to come out all the better on the other side, that's why I pray. Because prayer is about a relationship, and that's why it's one of the hardest things to ever do. Like I've said many times, relationship is if not one of the hardest things, it is the most difficult thing to do. Think about where do we struggle the most? In our marriages, with our children, in our friendships, with our employers or employees. Relationships are the most difficult thing to do. And our relationship with God is the greatest relationship. Therefore, at times, it's the most difficult relationship. And that's why we need to pray, because if I get that relationship right, the power will be unleashed in all my other relationships. And I will change this world, because this is the thing. When we go to prayer, usually we often pray and don't feel like we're praying at all. We leave prayer unchanged, and unchanged people have no power to change the world around them. So we need to go to the God who can change us and transform us and infuse us with himself so that we can become like him and change this world.
That's right. We got to get out of our sedentary lives and we got to man up and start doing what is necessary to be this these great men. If you want greatness, it ain't going to happen because of your job title. It's not going to happen because of the amount of money you're making. It's going to happen by the man that you become, the character, the integrity, the virtue that you grow in. And most importantly, and you just stated it, is that relationship with God, with Christ, with our Blessed Mother, with Saint Joseph and all the saints and angels. That is what's going to make you great. And if we don't understand that, we're missing the mark. And I really want to just overemphasize that prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is conversation with Christ. And I mentioned that because of our listeners here and men, and Devin and you and I have talked with us, Sam, you and I have talked about this, that men often approach prayer with a certain degree of a quid pro quo, you know, relationship, is that I'm going to give this amount and then I'm going to get this. Or Lord, if I come with these intercessory prayers, you are going to grant the majority of them, hopefully, maybe all of them, or, you know, and we come at it with this sort of situation. But if I entertained my my relationship with my wife that way, we would have a horrible marriage. If it was, I'm going to give you X if you give me Y, which a lot of men do approach, especially as time and familiarity grows on, they become deadened to that relationship and loving and willing the good of your spouse. So you find yourself, you know, just looking for more. And so we approach a relationship like that. That's use. That's absolutely not love. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Christ and with God. And I also want to just point it at myself that I entered into prayer for years, not just, I've said it on other episodes, but I'll say it again. I actually had two spiritual directors to tell me to pray every single day, and I still couldn't do it. So I'm talking like 8 years of spiritual direction where I am like, I'm praying throughout the day, but not a morning prayer in particular is what I'm talking about. I had a good 8 years where I would go 5, 6, sometimes 4 days, sometimes 7 days, but never like every single day consistent with my morning prayer. And it took spiritual directors for years telling me this, and I believed them, but it was still hard because I didn't understand. And somebody once telling me, oh, it's a conversation with God. I don't know how to do that, right? He's invisible. I'm not hearing his words, all the things we talked about earlier. So this is indeed something that is difficult. But if we lose that, we will fall into that selfish, you know, me first, quid pro quo, you know, sort of relationship with prayer. So I want to just mention that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the other thing I think is important when we talk about this is that we're talking about earlier about the deepest desires of men's hearts. And I think, you know, there is a deep longing for, I don't know how else to phrase it, but ego transcendence in men, right? Mm-hmm. People will spend thousands of dollars to be overawed, to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, I was just recently reading about the band U2 in this residency they had in Las Vegas. And this amazing new music venue called The Sphere with like millions of LED lights. And as the band's playing, there's these mesmerizing images swirling behind them in this massive, immersive experience, kind of like IMAX, but like way bigger.
Yeah.
Tickets started at $1,000. Why do people go to rock concerts? Why would they pay $1,000 to see this band to lose themselves in something bigger than themselves? In these moments of transcendence of like you just lose yourself in something bigger and greater. People travel all over the world to see the Himalayas, to see the Grand Canyon, to see because we want for our ego to dissolve for a brief moment and be lost in love and awe and wonder. But you know, that experience is available to you free, at home, right where you are, and through prayer, because God is the ultimate source of transcendence, of wonder, of love. And all of these little glimpses that we have here on earth are just a little taste, just a little foretaste of what God himself is like. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. I get that. But I would encourage you to read the writings of the saints and the mystics and those who have known God in a direct way. And they're just like raving with enthusiasm for how the joy of this experience of being lost in love with, you know, the divine beloved, like how overawing it is and how ultimately satisfying it is. And it's like St. Augustine, you know, like that little hole in the beach where he walks and meets that kid who's like trying to put the ocean into this little crater that he's dug. And there's no way it's going to fit. And it's like we also, you know, when all the saints describe meeting God, there's just this ecstasy, ecstasis in Greek, meaning coming out of yourself.
Yeah.
And just kind of being swallowed up in the love of God. While simultaneously, you know, yeah, you never lose your identity fully. But the experience of it is one of such profound oneness, at one-ment, you know, with the ultimate meaning of the word atonement, right? Is bringing the soul into contact with God and just being lost. And so the point being, it's worth it. All the saints attest, all the mystics attest, it's absolutely worth it. It's worth the effort, right?
Hey, man, and us three can attest as well. Devin, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I just want to put you guys on the spot. So let's forget about the saints for a minute and let's forget about, you know, all that. And I'm just going to ask you, have you guys experienced ego transcendence? Have you experienced the $1,000 ticket, LED, you know, millions of lights YouTube show, in prayer?
He's putting you on the spot first, Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. Glimpses. Absolutely. You know, and there's times when we feel those, it's just what I would describe it as is just, it's almost like, you know, just this profound enthusiasm that just like takes over, you know, where it's just,
yes.
And you want it to last, you want it to last. And I'm not saying like we should be chasing experiences, right?
Mm.
You can't.
But when you do, you can't. Yeah. Like you can't conjure it up, you can't control it, you can't manipulate it. When it comes, and when it goes, and but you're thankful, right? But I would say, yeah, I have. I wouldn't say like it's a daily occurrence by any means or even monthly. But those moments have been there, and that's enough for me to know that it's real. And I'll say too, like even the greatest mystics didn't live in a perpetual state of ecstasy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like of Julian of Norwich, a medieval mystic. She had one mystical experience her entire life. But she meditated on it for like 40 years because it was so profound. So all that to say, like it, we shouldn't chase the ecstasy. But if you
certainly not,
I think part of the reason we don't feel that motivation is because we haven't tasted it. But once you taste it, like you want it. You know that it's real.
Well, and let me tell you, Sam, you'll get there. Like I'm there. And so you get it more regularly. That's that ego transcendence that we were talking about. That
ego,
hasn't happened.
Ego
no.
Transcendence, John, not descendance.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely descended. No, I absolutely. In fact, I would say that I've had that moment, like you were just saying, Sam, it has absolutely happened where you're filled with like an indescribable peace. You're filled with an indescribable love. And for me, I've actually found myself reflecting on my family, my wife and my children with like this awe-inspiring wonder that they are in my life and who they are. And it is that grace from God. I had that not too long ago. And then to affirm what you were saying, I don't have the gift of tears that comes on a regular basis. I'm not levitating. I'm not doing anything. And I'm not even chasing after those things. I can tell you though, when I first started praying, like I was hopeful, right? There was that part of me that was like, wouldn't it be great if, right? Because then it's a reward, right? And like there's now something that I'm being given that I'm seeking. And St. Louis de Montfort, every year that I do is True Devotion to Mary reconsecration. You literally speak out against that, like, you know, this idea. But that's absolutely something that I have been blessed to experience and come back to that font. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing about this? This is... Yeah. I think this is important because there's different dispositions, right?
Yeah.
And what I will say is when I've had those moments, it's almost always through encountering something so beautiful that it just bypasses like your intellect and just goes straight to your heart. And tears are like, I break down in tears. I'm sorry. Like I just do.
Yeah.
And it's not a sorrow. It's like a, it's just a bittersweet joy that just like, I was going to give you a concrete example. It sounds utterly ridiculous, but it happened. Okay. I was searching for a wallpaper for my computer screen and I really wanted like, you know, a beautiful nature scene. And I can't, I was just searching for, you know, nature wallpapers or whatever. I came across this wallpaper of a beautiful green pasture. I think it was like England or Wales with sheep grazing. And there was like the sun was setting in the background. And all of a sudden, something just pierced my soul like an arrow. I don't know how else to describe it. And I just like started bawling my eyes out. And I just had to like step away from the computer and just go sit down on the couch and like just savor the transcendence of what was happening. And I have no idea. It's not something I could go look up that wallpaper right now and it wouldn't have the same effect on me. But like for whatever reason, in that moment, something pierced my soul. And I knew absolutely it was like a holy moment. It was a moment of contact with God, seeing that beauty. And it just going right through to the core of my being. And I would say all of the other experiences I've had are very similar in the sense that something just, it's like a spiritual touch, like something just touches your soul and you just kind of melt, you know? And I think the reason this is important is because the saints have two different ways, the apophatic way and the cataphatic way. And the apophatic is like you reject all images because God is ultimately beyond all images that and all symbols and all of that. Like his nature is unknowable. So some of the saints, that was the way they chose. Even John of the Cross, right? Like he talks about, you know, the way of nothing, you know, nada in Spanish, where it's like you just, you reject all images, purify your mind of all, purge your mind of all imagery. And then in the darkness, you meet God. But there's other saints that are the cataphatic way or the positive way of approaching God through the veil of symbols and through the veil of creation, this beautiful creation that God has given us to give us a glimpse of who he is and what he's like. And for me, at least, like that's the way that appeals to me most. And the way in which I've had the deepest contact with God is actually through creation and not my this way of like negation. Just know that different people are different, you know, like you may have a different way, but that's how I've experienced God most directly.
Amen. I appreciate that, Sam. And I'll say that when I had one of those piercing experiences, different temperaments, and that's really important. I had one of those piercing experiences while receiving the Eucharist. And while I was having that experience, I immediately, because of my temperament and my skepticism, was like, you didn't get enough sleep last night. Like this is, you know, I immediately started like fighting against it.
Give you these graces.
Then I started chastising myself because I was like, even God in his goodness, I have to put aside. What about you, Devin? How have your experiences in the prayer life been?
Oh yeah. I mean, the reason I asked the question is I just want, you know, not just for us, but for our listeners to understand that it's not just for the canonized saints. It's not just the mystics who are experiencing God in prayer. This is very real and it's available for the average common peasant married man. So I can't emphasize that enough. It's available for the taking if you want it. I love this. It says in John, I believe it's chapter 1, somewhere in there, God does not ration the Holy Spirit. He doesn't measure. He doesn't give it out in measure. And also it says in Luke, Jesus says, whoever asks, knocks, seeks, the Holy Spirit will be given to him. So God does not ration. He's not holding back and he's more than willing to give the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit, but we got to show up. We've just got to be faithful. I think this is just my opinion. I'd love to get your opinion on this, but when St. Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the church, mystical doctor of prayer. Mm-hmm. She says, mental prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than the intimate sharing between friends. Remember that quote? The Catechism yes. quotes it. And she says, it means taking time frequently to be alone with the one who we know loves us, etc. I think that personally, I want to get your opinion on this. I think this is a struggle for men because notice what she's saying. She's saying that prayer's intimate. Boom. That's a challenge for men. It's a sharing, yeah. a mutual sharing. Another challenge. It's a friendship. Right. It's friends. Boom. And it's frequently yeah. being alone. Oh my gosh, another problem. So you got intimacy, yeah. you got sharing, you got friendship, you got frequently being alone. And as a male, I'm like, this is a yeah. lot of, this is very challenging. So I think it's like, okay, guys, God wants to share with you himself. That's the whole idea behind prayer. It's a communion of persons. He wants to give you himself so you can experience him. That's the whole purpose of prayer. But it's also so that you can kind of get to this side of you that you don't think exists. Intimate side, a sharing side, a friendship side, and the ability to be alone with yourself and God. So God wants this for you. And I think that this is what we're going to help ourselves, I hope,
agreed.
And our listeners to get into is to take on those challenges.
Yeah, I was going to read a quote, but I think actually this is that perfect segue for us to dive into how to actually make that happen, because it really is difficult. We've admitted that. We have talked about that. We have talked about the fruits of it and the possibilities of it and why we should all be doing it. But now let's talk about how to actually do it. And I am really big, and I'm going to use Benjamin Franklin here, right? If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. There you go. And I think that this is really where we want to start, because I am adamant. I am on from my own experience. And then I love the fact that I can be supported by different doctors of the church and things like that. But it was this idea that focusing on the beginning and the end of your days are really, or the beginning and end of your prayer time is really what is most important. And then in the middle, we're going to do the best that we can, and we're going to let receive and dialogue and stuff. And so what we've discussed in preparation for this episode was to talk about a morning prayer routine. And what does a morning prayer routine actually look like? You heard me talk about these different religious orders that thrived, right? That was basically it. It was men just looking, okay, I know I'm supposed to be praying. I know I'm supposed to be daily. I know how to do it. Find this militaristic, a leaning and go to find a religious order that can give me that structure. And now I know I'm going to be sitting down and I'm going to be doing something during this hour every morning to try and gain that out. So we want to make that a little bit easier for you. We want to actually help you learn from our experiences and give you a little bit of roadmap. Now, we haven't actually discussed this roadmap prior to us talking about it right here. So you're going to hear some differences undoubtedly within each of us. But I want to hopefully give you something that you can then take and bring to your own prayer time. And so why do I think that this is so important? Because our life is a life that is built on rhythms, right? And the rhythm of our life is sun up, sun down, is the rhythm of breathing, the rhythm of our heartbeat, the rhythm of the seasons of the year. And so we actually have to make prayer a part of that rhythm within our lives for it to then transcend throughout the day, right? And so getting this right, getting that morning prayer routine, getting that to be a part of your rhythm of your life is going to help you transcend. It's going to help you move forward. And then the other prayers will come from that. So Sam, why don't we start out and talk a little bit about how you start your morning prayer routine and go from there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, preach it. Like I am absolutely 100% on board with what you're saying, this idea of rhythm. And like if you look at, think of neural pathways, you know, as like soil, like you're digging those trenches in the soil every time you show up and do the work, right? You do the hard thing. Like it's the old saying in neuroscience is like the neurons that fire together, wire together, and like you're reinforcing every time you show up, whether or not you want to or not. Now, this isn't about perfection, right? Because I do mess up some days. Some days I just sleep too late or whatever, yeah. and like I have to rush to get the kids ready for school and out the door and everything. We're not talking about perfection. You got to give yourself a little grace, especially when you're starting out. A perfectionist mindset will almost certainly lead you to give up, will almost certainly lead you to fail altogether.
Yeah.
So showing up is just, don't worry about being perfect. Do it, but keep trying, keep getting up. But beyond that, I'll just say,
so one exercise I would recommend for you if you're trying to figure out where to start with your prayer routine is just as a little experiment, see if you can get all the way through an Our Father without getting distracted once. Just try it. I'll just make the prediction that you won't make it. you won't make it. And I think this is one of the key things that we often make the mistake of doing, and that's biting off more than we can chew. Like we can't do it. So start where you can and build from there. Yeah, the one thing that's really a non-negotiable for me, even if I sleep in or whatever, is saying that renewal of consecration to our Blessed Mother, to the Virgin Mary. And that's really like, I can't flex on that. And what it takes like 30 seconds, right? If you can't do that, then there maybe really is no hope for you. No, I'm just kidding. But do it. Absolutely. Like, and for me, the reason that's a non-negotiable for me is because it makes my whole day a prayer. I think the one thing it is so key is intention. With what intention are you doing something? You can do something really beautiful and it can be absolutely meaningless if the intention is self-serving, if the attention is to get attention. You can make even the most beautiful act completely meaningless spiritually. So what we're doing with a morning offering or with a renewal of consecration is we're saying everything, whatever happens, good, bad, ugly, somewhere in between, like we're giving it all into the hands of Our Lady to purify, to repair if need be, to consecrate, and then ultimately to hand on to Christ, through the Father, through Jesus Christ. Like, and so it's a beautiful way of setting the intention for your whole day. Whether you get a flat tire or, you get a big bill in the mail that upsets you, or your work is stressful, like setting that intention makes every moment holy. And I truly believe that. After that though, I have found the Liturgy of the Hours, praying the Psalms. Like this is what the church has done for centuries. Look at the religious, the monks, nuns, even priests, right? They're required to pray the office. Why? Because the Psalms give voice to the full spectrum of human experience, the whole spectrum. And they were actually like originally prayers that were made public, and it was coming, flowing from the heart of David. And there's highs and there's lows and there's anger and there's hope and there's joy, and it's all there. It's all there. And the church has seen that this is important to continue this tradition of prayer. And again, the monks and nuns and all the priests and religious and even lay people for centuries have played this Liturgy of the Hours. And it's a beautiful way of bringing the prayer of the church into contact with your daily life. But if you can't start there, that's okay. Just start with one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be, and get through them with as much attention and intention as you can. And because to me, prayer, the key to prayer, all prayer, is attention and concentration. If you can't do that for even 30 seconds, then it's going to be very difficult for you to make any progress in prayer.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. So, Devin, we're talking about morning prayer routines, and I'd love to hear just how you get your morning prayer routine started. And Sam started out with some principles to keep in mind as you're approaching that morning prayer, and I'd love to hear what you do.
Gosh, yeah, my routine has evolved and matured over the years because I think, maybe to just backtrack just a little bit, John, and maybe this could help, is that just I went through a lot of different stages just getting to the point that I'm at now at being over the age of 50. And at first, after I had that conversion, there was a lot of spontaneous prayer. But that spontaneous prayer was not like where I was actually spending time resolutely, consistently with God. And then after that initial spontaneity wore off, or that spontaneous kind of prayer wore off, then I was kind of like in this zone where I didn't know really how to pray. And so then I discovered rote prayers, the rosary, the Liturgy of the Hours, those things, and the Mass. And all those are excellent prayers. And I leaned on those heavily, and I would experience a little bit of like a little conversation in those things while I was attending them, but it was almost like they were being done for me in a way. And so I was in a sense connecting with God, encountering God, but it wasn't like I was just spending time with him outside of something being done to me, or like, you know, the rosary or the, or praying rote prayers or the mass. Then it's when I discovered discursive prayer through meditating on the gospel. That was when all of those other things combined with that, it became more alive. I was actually having a conversation with Jesus. And then, as Sam says, then it moved into more of the attentive gaze in adoration, where I would have discursive prayer, meditating on the gospel, but then just rest in him and worship him and just be in awe of him or adore him in silence and just let him infuse himself into me. And so it was through all that. I got to tell you, there was points in my, like a spiritual director said to me, first 5 minutes, you can tell God whatever you want. Next 25 minutes, you listen. Well, I tried that and I fell asleep all the time because after I was done talking, I was worn out, right? And then I remember hearing about John Paul II, who prayed like 7 hours a day, they'd say, or something crazy like that. And I was thinking, man, I can't even get through 10 minutes. And then I heard about how he would do the, you know, pray in a cruciform position, prostrate. And I thought, okay, well, so I started doing 2 days at the local parish and I started doing that. And the custodian, Dan, walked in and I was prostrate laying there, and Dan thought I was dead. And he's like, Devin, are you okay? And I got up and he's like, and he said, damn you, Devin. And he storms out, you know, because scared him to death. But so, you know, you try all these different things of,
it's true.
So what has happened now is my morning prayer routine consists of all those. I begin with like the morning offering, some rote prayers, which would be the blessing from Revelation to God, you know, all glory, blessing, you know, thanksgiving, honor, and power and might be yours, O God the Father, and the Lamb who is slain, who lives forever, you know, and consecration to Our Lady and Saint Joseph. But then, and I do that prostrate, you know? But then, so from there, you know, I go from the morning offering, but I start at 5, and it's taken me years to build up to this, but that's the first thing, is the morning offering, like you're saying, Sam. But then I will start off with the rote prayers. So the Liturgy of the Hours, the Office of Readings, I will begin there and warm up, get that oil in the engine, get the pistons firing. And then my mind is allowed to start to move into more of a discursive mode, where I meditate on the gospel and the 3 R's: read, reflect, respond. To know Jesus, to look in that divine mirror, learn from Jesus, and then realize I'm not like him, and then beg, Lord, give me that attribute that you have so I can be like you. And then after I'm done with all of that, then it's the Our Father, you know, the Hail Mary, the glory be. So it's taken me years to get to this point. But I will tell you this. I have been so moved by God and received so many graces and infused graces in this time of meditation, discursive prayer, and the attentive gaze, that I will never go back. I will never go back to a life of not praying. I need him so badly. I desire him so badly. I have come to depend on him and rejoice in his presence, that I could never go back to a life of not having time with him and experiencing who he is.
That's beautiful. And I think that what I'm hearing throughout your development is something that Father Jeremiah Hermit came and gave and said to me, was that pray as you can, not as you can't, and not as you think you should, because there was that development that you were experiencing, that sort of unfolding of the prayer life based on where you were at, what you were learning about, and what you were able to apply to. And so I have a very similar story, and I would say that I'm not even fully to where you are, and that's okay. I've learned to accept that. I've learned to be okay with that, because I always start my day with the morning offering. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sacrifices, you know, and then I go in and I pray my my reconsecration to Our Blessed Mother. And then I will actually, on my knees, invoke the Holy Spirit, and make an act of faith where I will attune my imagination to actually picture Saint Joseph or the Blessed Mother or Christ right there with me. And I will picture them and I will utilize my imagination within that before going on to the next process. For me, the next process has always been my prayers of petition and prayer or intercessory prayers. So I have this kind of this litany, this list that I go through that's both asking certain things that I am in need of and desiring virtues, things of that nature, and then prayers of intercessory prayers for those that I love. And I actually walk through all of those, and you can do it pretty quickly when you've been doing this like I have. And that and then after that is when I enter into that meditative prayer. And that's where I enter into, I use scripture and I have been, kind of reading the Psalms and going through right now, and just pausing and allowing God to speak through me. And then I will just pray in silence. Just what's it called? Extemporaneous, but just like, you know, out, you know, whatever comes to mind, and then I'll pause and I'll reflect on that. But then I will also end with my resolutions for the day and a couple of these rote prayers. And I think that's where I am. But again, it was developed, I will say, for years, I would stop at the intercessory prayers. Like it'd be the intercessory prayers. It was all rote, right? It all had to be controlled. It all had to be guided. And I was really limiting myself. I mean, for years, like a decade at least, I was just limiting myself to even the possibility of hearing God. But you know what? I learned the habit. And here's the thing that I'm going to say here is that habit and constancy is going to beat motivation every single day. And so learning that habit and bringing that habit into my life transformed who I am and what I want for my life and what I'm capable of becoming because I actually gave it the time that it needed. And now it's so much more efficacious. Devin, yeah.
John, I love what you're saying. All that you said, and also you said that before, I love that idea of habit beating motivation every single time. That's incredible. But I love what you're saying about your morning prayer routine because that's the system. You have the rote prayers bookending at the beginning, at the end. You have your petitions and you had your little launching pad, that kind of meditative where you allowed yourself to go into the imaginary state, if you will, to where you're placing yourself in the presence of the saints and God. That's kind of, and then you move from there to discursive meditative prayer. And then you move from there to rest. That resting. And then you end with the rote prayer, the resolution and the rote prayer. And I love that. That's the scenario right there. That's so good because that encapsulates our heritage as Catholics fully. You got your rote prayer. You've got your imagination where you're placing yourself in the presence of God. Then you're really in the presence of God and you speak with him through discursive meditation. Then you're waiting on God. And then you end it by concluding it with your rote prayers and your resolution. That is so beautiful, so powerful. I love that structure.
Yeah, wonderful. And so, men, I'm going to put some of these into our show notes here so you can kind of have this map that we're looking at and you can grab that and you can apply that to your daily prayer time. And so I want to head over to putting on the new man. But before we do that, Sam, any final thoughts on the morning prayer routine and a little, you know, stick with it before we move forward?
Yeah, I think someone said earlier in the episode, I can't remember if it was John or Devin, but this idea that we have to develop this side of ourself, kind of this receptive side of ourself that doesn't come naturally to men. And it's going to take some time, but you know, I think even the greatest saints, like it took them time. Saint Teresa of Avila talks about, you know, yeah, she had to grow in prayer too. In one of her books, I think it was The Way of Perfection, she talks about having to use, kind of a spiritual reading as a launch pad for prayer for about 15 years before she was able to pray without the aid of some kind of book or spiritual reading or some kind of meditation. And that's not to say, you know, like, absolutely, if like we need to be using these aids, but just know that it takes time. It takes time, but all good things in life take time. And I think we need, as men, like mature men, we need to stop seeking quick fixes, instant results, instant gratification. Yes. Mature men know how to strive and struggle and overcome in order for a deeper fulfillment that even goes beyond momentary pleasure. And the devil's number one way of tripping us up, I truly believe, is by distracting us with insignificant trinkets. You know, he just gets our attention with some shiny object and kills any ability that we have to persevere, to be patient, to seek the longer term payoff that absolutely is possible. But it's so sad to me that we're willing to do that for the business world, for our retirement portfolio, you know, we'll pay exorbitant payments on a brand new car for six or seven years. You know, we'll pay a mortgage down for 30 years, all for that long-term payoff. But then it comes to prayer and we're like, it's too hard. I can't do it, right? No, it's an investment. It's an investment in your eternal soul. So absolutely, it's worth it. Don't give up. Yeah. Show up every day. Amen. And leave the rest in God's hands, and he will reward you in due
time. Amen, Sam. Thank you so very much. So, men, we're going to give you a challenge here. It's the putting on the new man that we talk about in every episode. But before we do that, if you want to listen to the entire extended edition of this episode where we answer that listener's question about sacrificial love, then we go into the invocation of the Holy Spirit and what to do when you fall off and how to get back on your prayer regime, head over to CatholicGentlemanPlus.com. We hope to see you there. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we love coming out with these things. So for the challenge this week, the putting on the new man, I'm turning it over to you, Devin. You came up with a great one that's going to go right in line with this episode.
Yeah. So I think the big challenge for the next week would be 25 minutes a day, place yourself in the presence of God, and practice the three R's. So read the gospel. That's the first R. Reflect on the gospel. That's the second R. And then respond to God. And this is the key. Two purposes here. You go into prayer to know Jesus. So you're reading the gospel to know Jesus. What is he revealing about himself? A character, an attribute, a desire, and then to become like him. And this is the key. When we are reading that gospel, reflecting, and then responding, the response is usually, Lord, I'm not like you. We look in the divine mirror of Jesus. We say, I'm not like you, but please give me this attribute. Please give me this character of yours so that I can become like you today. So, and I think this is important. Give it the full 25 minutes. Even if you feel like nothing is happening, God will not be outdone in generosity. He will give more of himself to you than you could ever think of giving yourself to him. And I guarantee you, if you stick it out, you will be greatly rewarded.
Couldn't agree more. So awesome. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode. We hope you got as much out of it as we did putting into it and dialoguing about this. And as we end each of our episodes,
be a man, be a saint.
Thank you.